Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
We're going to get the thoughts of a prominent Charlotte sports columnist here, Scott Fowler of the Charlotte Observer. He just wrote a piece on why now is not the time for Dave Tepper to fire Matt Rhule. He joins us now on the Technicom hotline. Scott, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Good morning, Nick. How are you today?
We're doing all right here. We're processing another blowout loss for the Carolina Panthers. We're processing many of Matt Rhule's comments. To start here, you wrote a great piece on why you feel like Matt Rhule should be safe for another year. For you, why shouldn't Dave Tepper fire Matt Rhule?
Well, I think the easy thing at this point is to fire Matt Rhule, and, you know, people are carrying torches and pitchforks and satisfy the masses, right, that are carrying those torches and pitchforks. Unfortunately, when you fire a coach, you basically reset everything to ground zero again. And I think as bad as it looks right now, I don't think they're at ground zero. And I think if they did it again, let me put it this way. The four previous times the Panther coaches have gotten fired, every year is a losing record the next year. So you're basically for sure going to have a losing record in 2022 if you fire him, I think. And I think despite what you just played, that's a little bit of a silly clip there for sure, but I think that they've got some things going, and if they get an offensive line and they get halfway decent quarterback play, that there actually will be an okay team in 2022 and maybe better than okay.
Scott, is there anything that could change your stance on this before the end of the season? I mentioned the stat that the Panthers have lost five of their last nine games have been 14 or so, two touchdowns or more losses. Would more lopsided losses sway you at all?
It wouldn't be the score so much. What I guess I would never say never. I think what would sway me is if there seems to be a kind of an open revolt among players. Like if there's a very clear sense that Matt Rhule has lost the ring, that would sway me for sure. I don't think that's the case now. I really don't. I feel like the effort's still there. The talent's not there, but I think their effort is still good. I think that they're still trying, so to speak. So, but that would be, that would change my mind for sure.
So you mentioned that you don't think they're at ground zero here, but if we look at last year versus this year, last year they had three double-digit losses all season. Of course, last year was the king of one-possession losses. This year, I mentioned the five losses of 14 points or more in the last nine games, and they've got two games coming up that, you know, at least one of those looked like it could be another double-digit loss. What is the disparity, or where does the disparity in competitiveness from one year to the next come?
I think the quarterback play has been worse. I think that's probably the biggest part of it. I mean, Bridgewater, for all his problems in the fourth quarter last year when he was 0-8 with chances to win or tie on the final possession, was pretty dang good in the first three quarters if you look at the stats. And this year they have been very on and off on the first three quarters. So I think that's where the difference is. They lost roughly the same percentage of games. But, it felt a little better last year probably because they were at least in the games. And this year there's been, like you say, a bunch of different times where they have not been in the games. I think that's the difference. And I think the sort of grievous miscalculation on the offensive line has really, really hurt them. On the plus side, they got a lot of money that they can throw at the offensive line. And I think that's what they'll do in free agency. So I think that's where you got to hit first and foremost before you even think about that number one pick in the draft. You got to rebuild this offensive line. And if they don't get this right, believe me, I'm not a Matt Rhule apologist. If they don't get it right and they're 5-12 again next year, I think he's gone, and I think he should be gone.
Scott Fowler, columnist for the Charlotte Observer. With Nick Wilson here, I was going to call it a Panther Tuesday, but yesterday was a Panther Monday, and that seemed to be enough. and on the Technicom hotline with us here. So assuming that Matt Rhule does get the third year here, are there changes you would like to see, whether it's on just anywhere in the organization or even with Matt Rhule, are there changes you would like to see them make to try and get it right for year three?
Well, I think that having a former NFL head coach on the staff would not be a bad thing. You know, I think that that would probably help a little bit. And another guy who's been there, done that sort of thing, another sort of veteran presence in those staff meetings. That's a good voice of reason. You know, Ron Rivera used to say that he thought that was the biggest mistake he had made in his first couple of years with the Panthers, not having a former head coach on the staff while he was making all these decisions. And so I think that might be, a place that you might go for offensive coordinator. I don't have any names on the top of my head, but something like that I'd like to see. And then just, I think really it's personnel more than anything. They got to figure out quarterback and offensive line. They've kind of figured it out defensively. So I think that's really where things have to change.
Scott, looking to just the two biggest issues on this team, if you could only do one, or if you could only prioritize truly one, what is more important to get right this offseason, or to get corrected, the offensive line or the quarterback spot?
Quarterback, for sure, Nick. I think that is just so hard. I mean, at any given time in the NFL, at least half the teams are looking for that guy. And so that's where, if you have to piecemeal it again on offensive line, but you find the quarterback that you're going to have for the next, let's not even say 8 years, let's say the next 3 years. If you find that guy, you got to get that guy. And the offensive line, you're just going to have to figure it out as best you can and max protect some more, because you've got a quarterback with a rocket who can find people who are open and isn't going to miss a beer, a dougla for a touchdown pass, and, is going to be able to throw it 50 yards on a dime. So quarterback first and foremost. I mean, that's half the team in the NFL, I think. And you see it time and again that the Panthers just miss opportunities and have for years. I mean, this isn't just a Matt Rhule problem. This is the way it was under Rivera toward the end, too. They just have not gotten good quarterback play ever since Cam Newton got hit by T.J. Watt in 2018. I mean, really, that moment, as much as anything, has changed the direction of this franchise.
Scott Fowler, the Charlotte Observer, with Nick Wilson here on the Technicom Hotline, breaking down the state of the Carolina Panthers. Do you think it is in the best interest of the Panthers to I don't want to say tank, because that's such a loaded word, but to lose the final two games of the season?
Yes. I think ideally it probably that matters more than draft picks. And, if you're going in that way, they're in real, quote, danger of winning this next one. I mean, New Orleans last night, I mean, that looked nasty. And they've beaten those guys once before. Now, the Saints are always better against the Panthers in the Superdome, and, they'll probably figure some. Sean Payton's really good. He'll probably, with a week to play with it, he'll figure something out. But they're not going to win that final one for sure. But this one. But then again, they're going to have a top 10 pick regardless, Nick. It'll probably, the difference is whether it's pick number probably 6 or pick number 8 or 9. So it's not the end of the world either way if they win or lose these last two. Probably make people feel a little better if they won one of them. But in the long term, it's draft capital too. I think it's very possible they'll trade that draft pick, Nick, the pick that whatever top 10 pick they get, they may go back 10 spot and, pick up a second rounder or whatever, because they've got so little and they've got to make more of that draft capital. So the pick is maybe more important than anything else right now.
Scott, looking to the other team here in Charlotte, I wanted to get a couple questions in, or at least one question in, on the Charlotte Hornets. They won last night over Houston. They've won two straight, one game above 500, I believe tied for sixth in the Eastern Conference, though technically they're in the eighth spot there. Through 35 games, figuring in everything here, have the Hornets overachieved or underachieved to you?
Right in the middle, I'd say. I don't think they've done either. I picked them before the season to be 43-39, and I think they're probably tracking right around there, that they're around 6 or 7. You know, hopefully they avoid the play-in. They've had some great moments. I've seen several of them. You know, they've beaten some teams that you're like, wow, and then they've lost. I mean, how they lost to, you know, gave up 146 and lost to that same Rockets team from last night is almost unfathomable. I think it comes down to them, you know, the defense in the middle. You know, they've got Plumlee has got to be decent for them, so they're not giving up a bunch of layups and dunks. Offensively, I don't think they're going to have problems. I think they can score with almost anybody, but I think they're just right. You know, they're tracking right around. You know, they're exciting. I mean, they are by far the most exciting pro sports team we have in Charlotte right now. I'm looking forward to that Suns game Sunday night, which I'll be at. I'm not going to New Orleans. I'm going to the Hornets game Sunday night. But I think, you know, there's still another step there to be taken, and whether they get there this year or not remains to be seen.
COVID, sorry, Scott Fowler. I have no idea why I just said COVID there. The perils of hosting solo and working from home. I would ask you, though, real quick, if they're kind of right in the middle there, of the guys currently on their roster, any of these guys, who is the biggest key to them overachieving down the final 47 games of the year?
Well, LaMelo, I think, even though he is their best overall player right now, but you need your star to be, you know, to raise it even another level, because I think LaMelo playing well is like the rising tide that lifts all boats, you know, and he has helped to make Miles Bridges look like sometimes a bona fide star, you know, in some games. He helped other guys too. And Hayward is, you know, although he takes some heat, I mean, Hayward's a guy that you really want in the game. He does a lot of things right that don't necessarily show up in box scores. Those two guys, I guess, would be the two most important ones. But Plumlee, as I mentioned, you know, he's got to not let people go for 35 and 15 underneath, because that's still the place where the Panthers have always needed offensive linemen. The Hornets seem to have always needed a shot blocking center. So Plumlee has to stay healthy and be that guy as much as he can this year.